Hello, and welcome to the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas, and this is the show where each week I read a chapter from a different indie author. Thanks for joining me for today's reading. Greetings, my people! Welcome to episode number 41 of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. This one's called number 41. As always, I'm your host, Benjamin Douglas. Thanks for joining me today, just a couple of days before Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas if you celebrate. It's my favorite time of year, just always has been, probably because I'm from the Midwest, and I like treats. Give me a treat! but anyway, I hope you're enjoying the holidays somehow with family or friends. Of course, New Year coming up. 2018, going to be a big year. My predictions for the indie author community, chief among them being more and more and more co-writing. I mentioned this in a comment on the Sellmore Book Show that got mentioned, because I'm famous. You know, it was one thing, you could write it off as a fluke when it was just John, Shawnee, and Dave, but now that we've had Michael Anderle basically running his own Amazon press, and we've got this authors on a train thing that's happened, and is continuing to happen, I guess, I think this is going to happen a lot more. And if you haven't heard yet, I actually have two super secret co-writing projects in the works, one of which I've kind of teased to my mailing list. Both of them are sci-fi oriented with different authors. One of them is a much more popular author than I, kind of an influencer. So shameless plug for that, because I'm hoping that will help me. But the other project is really, really sweet, too, kind of with more of a peer. So it's going to be a good year for me and a good year for co-authoring. These are my predictions. Speaking of science fiction and space opera, except kind of not at all, today I'm reading from indie author Dan C. Rinnert. And I say sci-fi because he keeps telling me he's in the process of writing a space opera trilogy. I think you said a trilogy, Dan. I'm sorry. Did you just say it's a standalone? Well, I'm sure it's something. True to form today. You know, the reading today is a sort of stream of consciousness, and I just recorded it. So I'm just kind of streaming my consciousness as I continue to speak, which I think you'll understand after you hear this reading. If you're not used to Dan C. Rinnert at all, you're in for quite a treat. I don't mind saying so myself. This guy is hilarious. I'm going to begin by reading his Amazon author bio, as I always do, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about where I've met, or I haven't really met, but where I've encountered Dan. So this is Rinnert's Amazon author bio. The pleasant summer day passed by too quickly, not unlike any other pleasant summer day that ends far too soon, except this time the group sat indoors in a small dining room with a large bay window open, allowing the evening summer breeze to flow through. Isaac Newton shared his story of how he discovered gravity on that fateful day he found himself sitting beneath a tree and an apple fell, hitting him on the head. "But Isaac," I said, "how do you know someone didn't throw that apple at your head?" I learned an important lesson that day, that people can get rather testy when you challenge their personal narratives. Which is precisely why I don't like to do an author bio, for what if you were to accuse me of just making things up? I would be rather annoyed with your impertinent questioning of my story. But by not having an author bio, we can avoid all that unpleasantness. You're welcome. All right, so that is Dan C. Rinnert's Amazon author bio. And if you visit Dan's Amazon author page, which of course I'll link to in the show notes, as well as his website, you're going to see five titles. Those are Dan's Lame Novel, from which I'm reading today. Also, Exposing the Secrets of How to Be More Creative. In Search of the Legendary Phineas Ray. Bad Fiction with a Meaningless Subtitle. And Bloody Love. Now, I have to confess, I haven't actually read most of these. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm a bad friend. But I can say from the branding that they all look like they're probably similar in tone to what you're going to hear today, which is, as I've said, hilarious. You're going to hear, I guess we'd call comedy? It's not like reading a book by a comic. It's unless the comic is like Stephen Colbert, I guess. It's totally satire. And it's really I would say it's really charming, except that as Dan is describing the lame novel that he's about to set out writing, especially in his foreword, I can't help feeling like he's describing my own books, which are not meant to be satire. But they're too short, and I don't plot ahead of time, and I don't do enough rewriting. So I felt, Dan, I felt like you were talking about me. But I know that's not true, because you wrote the first draft of this in 2012, before I was born. Not before I was born, but before I was publishing. Anyway, so I first encountered Dan C. Rinnert on K-Boards, surprise, surprise, where I meet many indie authors. Dan is a regular contributor on a number of threads. He is sort of, well, honestly, I haven't been around long enough to know if he's like the founding father of, but he's certainly the torch bearer of the weekly Caps Locks Wednesday thread. And if there's a rule about Caps Locks Wednesday that we don't talk about Caps Lock Wednesday, I'm really sorry because I'm talking about it. I didn't know. If you've been hanging out on K-Boards at all and you have not yet partaken in a Caps Lock Wednesday thread, what is wrong with you? Go check it out. It's super fun. The first time you find one, it doesn't even matter what anyone said because you can't help but read it as if everyone's shouting everything they're saying, which is exactly how forums should be and is, in its own way, a very clever level of satire, I think. So we have a lot of fun on there. Occasionally I get impatient. Dan, I'm really sorry. I'm in central U.S. time. I don't know where you are in the world because you didn't write an author bio. But but occasionally I'll hop onto K-Boards on a Wednesday and see that Dan hasn't started the thread yet. And so I'll light a fire and start one because I'm a whore for attention. But it's a lot of fun regardless of who's on that thing. I'm going to go ahead now and read the blurb that is the Amazon book description for Dan's lame novel. Authors typically don't set out to write a bad novel. It may turn out that way, but that was probably not their intent. I also did not intend to write a bad novel. I did, however, fully intend to write a completely lame novel. If I may say so myself, I believe I have succeeded. Writing a lame novel means casting aside the typical rules of fiction. For example, a good novel should probably have a consistent plot. We'll just throw that concept out the window because if I'm getting bored with a plot line, you probably are too, so how about we just drop it and move on? Rewriting? Forget that. That's too much like work. We'll just retcon things as we go along. How about we break the fourth wall while we're at it? Maybe even the fifth. Is there a fifth wall? I think I'll plead the fifth on that. This novel is also shorter than a typical novel, more like novella length. But since it's lame, well, why would a lame novel be a novel length? So it's shorter. Deal with it. You'll get through it that much faster. Also, tacos. Yes. Tacos. Because tacos are awesome. And what about bacon, you ask? You'll just have to wait and see. Please note that I am fully disclosing here that this novel is entirely lame, so if you buy it expecting it to not be lame, well, that's your own fault. I am telling you right here and right now that this novel is very, very lame. I'll repeat that in the foreword of the book, too. Go ahead and check. But you should buy it anyway. Why? Because I'm pretty sure you don't want to miss out on reading what is quite possibly the lamest novel ever. Or novella, if you want to be nitpicky. But I'm calling it a novel, so there. There we go. And for the record, Dan's lame novel is listed as 112 pages, which, oh, I'm a little rusty. But if I had to guess, that probably puts it somewhere in the neighborhood of just under 30,000 words. Which I know, because my own lame novels, which are not intended to be lame, are in a similar neighborhood. They are probably technically novellas. I just avoid the issue by calling them books or titles, sort of like that fellow who did all the short, what, T.S. Paul, right? All right. So anyway, I do want to mention a couple of things that Dan let me know about. First off, it's unfortunate timing. It's my own darn fault, because he already had things scheduled, of course. Dan's lame novel, the book from which you're hearing today, is actually free as I record this on the 22nd of December, but as you listen on the 23rd, it won't be anymore. Sorry. But it does look like he does pretty regular promotions, so hang around for that if you like it. From the 25th of December, that is Christmas Day, until the 28th, there will be a Kindle Countdown deal on In Search of the Legendary Phineas Ray. So if you like what you hear, check out Phineas Ray sometime on or shortly after Christmas. That will be on sale. He also is sending out a newsletter on the 23rd to his subscribers with 4 short stories. All of them lame, he says. So it sounds like if you subscribe to his letter, you get content that way as well. Says he's still working on his space opera. Hopefully that happens. Dan, I'm pulling for you, buddy. And he gives me his website, which I will link to in the show notes. All right, as always and ever, I want to remind you all that this reading does not come from an official audiobook. It is recorded, performed, presented here, just by me, just for this show, with the author's consent and permission. If you like what you hear from Dan, do check out his stuff from the show notes, or just go to Amazon and look up Dan's lame novel. It'll come right up. And if you're enjoying the show, I invite you and encourage you once more to go to iTunes, look up the Book Speaks podcast, find me, it's the blue one, and leave me a rating or review. You can follow me on Twitter if you like. I'm at Cantankerous Ben, and I am Benjamin Douglas on Amazon and Kboards, and there are links to my own books on the sidebar of the show notes as well. Without any further ado, here is Dan's lame novel. Thanks. Dan's Lame Novel by Dan C. Rinnert. Dedication. Dedicated to you, dear reader, who now must bear the burden of reading this lame novel, which I have written for you to read, which, thanks to the magic and vanity of self-publishing, is available for you to read, because I imagine that no publisher in their right mind would ever publish this novel unless I managed to dig up some dirt on them that they would not want the world to know about, but that would require a lot of work and effort, so odds are good that I'd never do that, plus it would be wrong as well, so that not being an option, I was left with the option to either stick this in a drawer somewhere, which would first require that it be burned to a CD or DVD or copied to a USB drive or something so that it could be on some form of media that could be stuck in a drawer unless I printed it all out and then put it in a drawer, or I could offer it up for sale and hope that people will be so curious as to just how lame of a novel this could possibly be that they will part with some of their hard-earned money in order to have that opportunity to read it and never be able to get back the 30 or 40 or 300 minutes of time required to read this novel, depending on how fast you can read. So thanks for that. Also, There is no also, but the dedication in my first novel had an also, and my next novel may have an also, so I'd better not break that trend here before it has a chance to be a trend. Forward. This is the bit where I get to tell you something about this novel that you are about to read. This section is actually one of the last bits I've written, even though it's among the first you'll be reading, and why I mention that, well, you'll get used to that kind of stuff throughout this novel. Generally, no one sets out to write a bad novel. They write what they think of as a good one, only to discover, or not, that it's quite possibly the worst piece of trash anyone has ever read. Yet some people will go to their deathbed defending their piece of garbage, accusing everyone else in the world of not being able to understand their brilliance. Of course, people might have better understood that brilliance had it been expressed in a cogent manner. I, on the other hand, decided it would be fun to deliberately write a lame novel. Not necessarily a bad novel, but just one that is entirely lame. To do that, I had a certain set of guidelines. For one thing, there would be no outline. I admit to having planned a few things in my head, but things didn't necessarily always go as I planned, and occasionally I completely forgot what it is I had planned and had to write something else, which tends to make a success of the effort to not use an outline, because a forgotten outline is not much better than no outline at all. Also, the novel would be more or less written in real time, which generally results in the character doing things at more or less the same pace as I write them. But while the main character only exists while the novel is being written, the other characters exist normally, resulting in a disconnect in the flow of time the main character experiences versus the flow of time as other characters experience it, except when otherwise required by the plot. Speaking of plot, writing a lame novel also requires that the character occasionally does things out of character simply to suit the plot, and also that plot lines get dropped as is convenient, and sometimes a new character might pop in that was never previously introduced but was, at some point in time, required by the plot to have previously existed, and thus an instant retcon occurs in the middle of the story. Or elsewhere. Sometimes plot lines may be dropped because I lost interest in them. Another rule was no rewriting. So, if I had what seemed to be a good idea, I just wrote it in and treated it like it was meant to happen all along. If something seems contradictory, well, that's just one of the things you need to deal with in a lame novel. Also, throughout the novel, I address the reader directly. Sometimes I address the characters directly. I also describe events as though I am watching them. All of these, I felt, were important factors in making this a truly lame novel. This novel is also shorter than a typical novel. If it were a normal work, it would be a novella, but since it's a lame novel, I think not meeting the word length of a normal novel definitely qualifies it as a lame novel. Lame novella just doesn't have the same ring to it. Also, tacos. You'll understand later. And so, having thus prepared you for this undertaking, I'll just let you get on with it. I am fully disclosing that this novel is entirely lame, so if you were expecting it to be something other than lame, that's your own fault. I am not at all trying to raise your expectations for this novel, but am being quite straightforward in telling you, honestly, that this novel is really, really lame. Chapter 1. It was a dark and stormy night, but not on the night when I started this novel. That is, it was night, or rather it is night, so it's dark, but it's not stormy, although it was kind of stormy yesterday. Well, it rained. Also, it's not really too dark, because I have the lights on. It's dark outside, of course, but I'm inside. But at some point, somewhere, it was dark and it was stormy. Just not tonight. I just wanted to clear that up so we don't start off on this adventure together on the wrong foot. Actually, I'm sitting down. How about you? Sorry, but I can't hear you. So let's just skip the pleasantries and jump right in. So, a novel should start out by introducing the protagonist, probably. In less fancy words, that's the hero or main character. It could be the villain, too. For that matter, we could start by setting some scene that will be relevant to the main character later on and not actually introduce the main character just yet. But I'm just beating around the bush here, which is kind of pointless because what does that accomplish? If you're trying to punish the bush, beat the bush, don't just pound the ground around it. You think the bush will be intimidated? It's a bush! The bush doesn't care. For that matter, since the bush doesn't care, there's no point in either beating it or around it, unless you want your neighbors to think you're crazy, which could be a good plan if they are annoying and you want them to leave you alone. No one messes with the crazy guy beating the grass around his bushes with a leather belt. They just call the police. And then the police think they're the one that's crazy. Next thing you know, your neighbor's being strapped to a gurney and hauled away to the funny farm. Mission accomplished. Anyway, back to our character. I mean, my character. Let's just get this relationship straight. I want you to feel like you're part of my team and all, but this character is mine. You don't have any ownership rights over him, okay? Oh! Look at that! Apparently my character is a him. Let's call him something. Let me think a moment. Don't worry. Just relax in your beach chair or toilet seat or whatever. I'll only be a minute. Bob? Billy? No. What's a good name for a male? Okay, he's got beady little eyes, but a big head. He's tall, but not too tall. Dark, short-cut black hair. Could it be a vampire? No, let's not go there. He's just an ordinary human, but not a terribly smart one. I mean, I could make him super smart, but then I'd have to do a bunch of research so you'd believe he's really smart, and I really don't feel like doing that. So let's make him dumb. That makes it much easier on me. Thanks for understanding. So, Todd. No, I don't think I like that one either. Ralph? Stan? Tallulah? That's a pretty name. Too bad what's-his-name is a he. You know what? I bet his parents were free spirits and didn't want to be constrained by traditional names, so they went with something unique and special that would ensure their child would be well aware of his uniqueness and specialness in the world. Consequently, they gave him the most unique and special name they could come up with, which is hard to figure out. Which is why I'm stalling and spreading things out, but please don't accuse me of beating around the bush, because we've already been through all that, so I should just get to the character's name already, which is Dryer Vent. Okay, so maybe Dryer Vent's parents weren't so much free spirits as they were high. Yes, that's it! Dryer Vent was born in a commune, and during labor, his mom and dad smoked pot because being high made his mother not care about the pain, and as for the father, well, his father was a stoner anyway. So they were high when he popped out. And since she was giving birth to the child in her mother's basement, which is where his parents lived from the time they got engaged to the time little Dryer Vent was 3 years old, the first thing she saw after giving birth was a dryer vent. Huh? She and her fiancé both agreed that Dryer Vent Pippenfeld was an awesome name for a baby who would one day grow up and fix washing machines. Unfortunately, Dreyer Vent Pippenfeld grew up to be a misunderstood artist, much to the disappointment of his parents, who had gotten clean and wished their son had become a chimney sweep. I said they got clean. I never said they were smart or sensible before they became drug addicts. At any rate, for years, critics could not understand why Dreyer Vent labeled everything he painted as a dryer vent, when clearly nothing he painted was a dryer vent, because if any of the things he painted was supposed to be a dryer vent, then clearly he was a really bad painter. Or high. But one thing Dreyer Vent never did was do drugs. He wanted to ensure he would never have a child and name him something like Lint Trap Pippenfeld. Although, to tell you the truth, I almost like Lint Trap Pippenfeld better. Bummer we've already gone with Dreyer Vent Pippenfeld. Well, now that I've introduced you to the main character, it's time to end this chapter and take a break. And by break, I mean that I am going to go to bed right now, so we won't be starting chapter 2 until tomorrow. Okay, maybe you'll just keep reading, because obviously I've finished the novel by the time you got it in your hands. But if you feel compelled to demonstrate a sense of solidarity, you can take a break now too, and go to bed. I'll really be impressed by your expression of solidarity if it's the middle of the afternoon when you're reading this, and you actually do go off, put your pajamas on, and go to bed.
This concludes another episode of the Book Speaks podcast, where the book speaks for itself. Thanks for joining me, your host, Benjamin Douglas, for another indie author reading. If you liked what you heard, be sure to visit http://thebookspeakspodcast.wordpress.com for more episodes and for links to the author's website and the author's Amazon author page in the show notes. If you'd like to follow me on my own author journey, you can find me at http://benjamindouglasbooks.wordpress.com. And of course, if you're an indie author interested in having your work featured on the show, or if you're interested in discussing having your book read and produced by me as an audiobook, feel free to contact me at benjamindouglasbooks@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you have a productive and enjoyable weekend.